National Radio Club.
This portion of Market Scope is brought to you by radio. Without your radio, you couldn't make an air check.
Hi, gang. Welcome to the Market Scope for April 2013, our anniversary edition. Before I get started, I'd like to just remind you of the National Radio Club Joint DXer Convention in Minneapolis. It'll be held August 1st through the 4th and is a co-convention with the International Radio Club of America, the Minnesota DX Club, and the Worldwide TV-FM DX Association. The convention will be held at the Holiday Inn Bloomington, located at 1201 West 94th Street in Bloomington, Minnesota. Make your hotel reservations right now to get the special convention rate. Call the Holiday Inn at 952-884-8211. Use the registration code NRC to obtain the special convention rate of $79 per night, and this rate includes tax. Cost for the convention registration is $45. This includes breakfast each day and the Saturday night banquet, as well as the amenities at the Museum of Broadcasting and the Friday evening pizza fest at the museum. They don't realize how much Durenberger can eat. Your check or money order should be payable to the National Radio Club. Send it to Skip Dabblestein at 8008 North Iron Ridge Drive, Tucson, Arizona, 85743-1065. Once you are registered, we'll send you an information form so we can learn about your special needs and interests. Please register early so we can include you on pre-convention information. Skip's email is ckdabble@comcast.net. That's ckdabel@comcast.net. Now let's get it on with the Market Scope.
Celebrating 75 years of 73s and great DX, you're listening to the National Radio Club and the NRC After Dark.
WNRC Convention City.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock tonight.
Good morning, I'm Wally with another hour of the NRC After Dark.
If you knew, roll over Beethoven, dig to the rhythm and blues.
The convention station, WNRC, and if we're going to play that devil music, then we might as well start right at the very birth of rock and roll with Bill Haley and the Comets, Buddy Holly, Bo Diddley, and Chuck Berry. Now, coming up this hour, some of the hits of the British Invasion you've probably forgotten about. But right now, here's Chicago on NRC After Dark. That song is a classic for AM Radio After Dark, Boston, More Than a Feeling. And before that, Ray Charles and Norah Jones from the Genius' very last album. The song, Here We Go Again. And perhaps the most unique version of Stairway to Heaven you're ever going to hear, Rodrigo and Gabriela. I've seen their DVD. They're phenomenal. Gabriela is really cute, too, and she's got a potty mouth and a half on her. You're in the middle of another hour of the NRC After Dark. This is the all-night show that's part of this year's 75th Annual National Radio Club Convention. You can check us out on the web at nrcdxas.org. And learn why we've been radio's biggest supporters since 1933.
You're listening to Great Oldies on WNRC Pittsburgh, a National Radio Club radio station.
It's 6 o'clock.
Welcome to the convention, WNRC, the oldies station.
Return the sender, return the sender.
That's Elvis. Thank you very much. And I'd be Fred here at the National Radio Club Convention, 5 past the hour of 6 o'clock in the morning on our diamond anniversary of the National Radio Club. Can you believe it? We're here in Pittsburgh and we're celebrating the 250th anniversary of the city as well as our 75th anniversary. Great to be here. Glad to have you along. Here's Wilson Pickett. Don't Knock My Love from 1520 WNRC.
WNRC.
The United States dollar took another pounding on German, French, and British exchanges this morning, hitting the lowest point ever known in West Germany.
And if anybody doesn't recognize that voice, that great voice from the 60s, that's the late, great Byron McGregor, news director of CKLW, the biggest of all eights. And speaking of eights, 8 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock in the morning with Fred on your radio. Hey, Sunday morning, we're going to open up the convention with the NRC DX examination. Then at 11 o'clock, we're all going to depart for a ride to PNC Park, home field of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Pittsburgh's got a team? Oh, yeah, okay. And this is going to be via the Gateway Clipper Fleet. The game that afternoon is against the Milwaukee Brewers. All Brewers fans are expected to sit in the back of the bus. Hey, here's Glenn Frey. You belong to the city on 1520 WNRC.
WNRC Pittsburgh remembers the year
1958.
1520 WNRC. Good morning. 18 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock in the morning, with Fred on your Super Heterodyne radio receiver or your Sony ICF-10, whatever ammunition you brought with you to the convention for your radio listening. We're broadcasting from our secret hotel room located someplace in this hotel complex. However, we ask that you do not try to find us. Do not knock on doors trying to locate us. Otherwise, you might have an extension cord thrown on you, and then a large amount of water.
You think you know what radio is, but there is a radio you may not have yet discovered.
Amateur radio.
AM 1520 WNRC. I am John Summers. I do afternoons at Classic Hits 98.7 K-Love in Dallas-Fort Worth. Here's another guy who would like to introduce himself to you.
I am the god of hellfire, and I bring you...
WNRC, no matter what sign you are, yes, it's the Supremes, what we'd call in the biz a really deep cut. And before that dialogue from Chicago, we had The Crazy World of Arthur Brown, a one-hit wonder called Faya. You and I, super slick Rick James, and I am John Summers, live from the 75th Annual National Radio Club Convention in Pittsburgh, from studios in a secret location high atop the city.
The day
WNRC! Well, that guy done with that song already? I have a feeling there were 20 more minutes of that song, and he just kept on going there. 9:04 in the big city. Hello to everyone in North America, especially that guy with the 20-foot beverage in his backyard. Temptation! WNRC! It is 9:08! WNRC chime time. Yes, this is the big 1710, somewhere between the police calls and the traveler's information service. But we're a lot more entertaining than those. I can give out the request line number, but I don't think we have one, do we? All right, Doobie Brothers, WNRC.
And around the corner, for my
yes, the enormous 1710, WNRC. 9:11. WNRC, hit the root beer bottle time. You probably know this from a commercial. Pick up the Eyes of Arts and vehicle on WNRC.
Hey, well, I'm a friend, a stranger in the fight.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to an all-convention weekend.
NRC Convention 1710. WNRC.
The really, really large 1710 WNRC. You know, whenever you're on a new radio station for the first time, there's always a question of what name you're going to use. I was going to be Smokey Joe Bacon, but I guess there already is one in the market. And I was going to be Michigan J. Frog, but no froggy stuff. So I guess tonight you can refer to me as El Kabong. Here's Sly and the Family Stone.
This is WNRC, Convention City, a National Radio Club radio station.
NRC Convention, WNRC, Convention City.
1 o'clock in Convention City and another hour of million-dollar music power underway. Larry Steele and Dave Barthouse with the Pointer Sisters. We're on fire at WNRC.
Fire, WNRC.
I'll thank you very much from the official NRC a cappella singers, courtesy of TM Jingles in Dallas on AM 1710. WNRC.
Hello.
Dave Marthouse.
Larry Steele.
Doing the do on this Saturday afternoon. Let's crank it up for NRC 2002. This is progressive, man.
It's far out, and we are proud to be living in the USA.
Hey, BXs, this is TJ the DJ, and I'm stuck here in DeKalb, Illinois, and I won't be able to make it to the 2000 convention. I want to welcome everyone to the convention, and I got a word of warning. Fred Bobby and John Barker are known to eat everything in sight. When it comes to food, they can't help themselves. You got to watch it. Hey, have a great time at the convention. Enjoy yourselves, have fun, and keep your radios tuned to WNRC.
WNRC, AM 1610. We're here because you are.
Really busy here, as Fred Vobey has been telling me. The town has been revitalizing. The hotel where we're meeting was just built 3 years ago, and some of the restaurants around the convention site are new this year as well. Lyme is one of the biggest communities between Dayton and Toledo, and because there's so many people, both the AM and the FM dials are packed with stations. Give a listen and see how many you can log while you're here at the convention. And make sure you put down Lima's newest radio station, WNRC FM
99.3. WNRC, your favorite music.
Thunderstorms on Monday with a temperature of 80 to 90. I'm Fred Richards in the 24-hour Weather Center.
1610 WNRC. This is Pete Taylor reminding you that on Sunday morning we will be holding the infamous NRC quiz. Are you ready for it? Questions are direct from the pages of DX News and the DX Audio Service. And here's a hint. One of the questions will be on a recent station call sign change. Is that enough of a hint? Well, if not, keep in mind that the test will also contain some basic trivia along with some really strange trivia. Try it. You'll like it. The NRC quiz on Sunday morning. And keep listening to 1610 WNRC.
America's most unconventional radio station, WNRC.
WNRC.
Hello, John McCoy here from Legends 77 KAAM, welcoming the membership of the National Radio Club and DX Audio Service to this year's convention. And remember, when you're in Dallas-Fort Worth, listen to me on Legends 77 KAAM in the morning. And thank you for supporting radio.
The preacher talked with me and he smiled.
WNRC, the convention station over the Labor Day weekend of the National Radio Club, America's premier listening and radio booster group. And you're hearing it all on WNRC 1610. WNRC, reminding you to come watch Fred Vobey and John Bowker on Sunday morning around 9 o'clock in the morning in the convention meeting room for lots of fun. And you can leave a permanent record of your attendance here that morning, too. So just keep listening to WNRC 1610.
Sunday and Monday, highs near 88, and all that warm weather could mean some FM skip in the works. So be listening to the VHF dial as well as AM 1610.
Hi, this is Fred Vobey at the 1999 National Radio Club Convention. Like to welcome you to the convention and hope you're having a great day, and keep listening to 1610 AM.
WNRC, reaching out to radio enthusiasts from the Holiday Inn in Bridgeport. Come visit us this weekend and take part in our activities if you'd like. You'll hear all about it on WNRC 1610.
Where to go?
Pick up your Maliki or Maliki Ma... you know what I'm talking about.
First on the dial, WNRC.
This is Joe Sorensen at your 1988 convention station here at the National Radio Club in Milwaukee, having a great time. And you know, we are at 89.1 FM stereo, so when you hear John Bolger between 6 and 10 in the morning in stereo, that means he's talking out of both sides of his mouth. And now let's hear The Edge of Heaven by Wham!
First on the dial, WNRC.
Why can't this be love? Eddie Van Halen, right here on your convention radio station, WNRC FM, first on your dial.
It's 2 o'clock. News, weather, and information on the full-service giant, WNRC AM and FM, Convention City.
There's only one thing that separates us from a 50,000-watt radio station. That's the extension cord plugged into the transmitter to keep us on the air. AM 1610, WNRC.
WNRC! I took my troubles down to Madam.
1610 WNRC, Mark Dernberger here, and while you're here at the convention, why not try out the different receivers available on the table in the hospitality room? You'll find a vintage McKay Dimec, a Sony 2010, a Super Radio 3, and a replica of an RCA Cathedral radio made by Philco. This will give you a chance to hear what's on the dial around town, and also give you a good idea of just how good AM radio can sound, just by keeping attuned to your convention station, WNRC.
Hi, this is Humble Billy Hayes from Talk Radio Big 570, welcoming the membership of the National Radio Club and DX Audio Service to this year's convention. And remember, when you're in Dallas-Fort Worth, listen to me on Talk Radio Big 570. And thanks for supporting radio.
1610 WNRC, this is Mark Dernberger, wondering where the next convention will be held. Ernie Wesolowski has the answer. Also, don't forget, if you'd like to host an NRC convention, Ernie's the point man for bids and information. You can contact Ernie while he's here at the convention and discuss details of what you need to do and how to submit a bid. We'd like to get back in the habit of announcing where next year's convention will be held at the present convention, so you need to get your info in early. Contact Ernie for details and keep listening to 1610 WNRC.
Set me free, why don't you play?
And that's a look back at WNRC Radio, a radio station that mysteriously appears at some National Radio Club conventions, staffed by NRC volunteers. At the DX Audio Service, we're always looking for air checks of radio stations from your hometown, your travels, or something that's interesting and might be of interest to our members. For feature here on Market Scope, send your air checks to me, Phil Wayne, at 7545 County Highway 71 in lovely Harpshire, Ohio, 43323-9364. And thank you for all your help. Now here are the musings from the members.
Give us your thoughts about what's happening in your area. Call the Musings line. Keep your ears open. And when you hear something that's important for everyone to know, call us.
Hello, everyone. It's March 21st. Joe Schwab from Fredericksburg, Virginia, with an announcement about WWFD in Frederick, Maryland. I was noticing last night and confirmed today that they've changed formats to a music format, so not simulcasting with WFED on 1500 anymore. Now, they play a combination of oldies and acoustic alternative music, is I guess the way you just described their format best. They will play like an acoustic version of Hungry Heart by Stephen Stills, but they'll play some mainstream oldies like Radio and You Can't Change That, and Procol Harum and Wider Shade of Pale, and The Sound of Silence, for instance. They say that they play more variety than you think, so that's the story on that. They're also simulcasting with some of their HD3 stations, so that's the story on that. Also enjoyed the articles about the history of CBS News and the future of radio, so keep those articles coming. 73s, everyone, from Fredericksburg, Virginia.
This is Tim Hendel.
I am sad to report the passing of DX Audio Service member John German of Elmira, New York, who passed away after a short illness. It was a brain tumor on March 21st. John loved the DX Audio Service. He loved to go to conventions. John was also a collector of 78 RPM records and cylinders. And John loved opera. He could name all of the operas of Giuseppe Verdi, and he could tell you in what year they were composed. John was known to a lot of people.
Hi, DX Audio Service members. This is Mike Lance in Aventura, Florida. I have three things, and I'm going to try to be brief. Number one, why is it that so many radio stations today that were so big in the 60s are not remembering their history? For example, when WABC was a rock station, WABC had a program on Saturday nights with Mark Simone. When Mark Simone left WABC and went to WOR, they canceled the music program and they went into a local talk show. And I was wondering how people felt about that. I think that's sad that radio stations don't want to remember their past or what they used to sound like. Number two, I've listened to Delilah in the South Florida area. And in my opinion, Delilah sounds very different. I think she sounds very low-key. She won't play a Beatles song or an Elvis tune. She just plays mainly 70s music. And she doesn't sound that upbeat at times. Why is it that radio station consultants can't have her sound more upbeat and play more familiar music? Number three, we have a station in Miami that's known as Miami's Greatest Hits. And it really bugs me because they have left out so many groups and so many songs. They don't take requests anymore. They sound very, very programmed. Why is it that oldie stations are doing that and they don't even want to become known as oldies radio anymore? I think it's very sad that radio is becoming so different these days. Thank you very much, and I will see you at the convention this summer.
Well, hello, everyone. It's March the 24th, and this is Joe Schwab from Fredericksburg, Virginia. Two quick items for you. First of all, Jim Rome has switched over to the CBS Sports Radio Network instead of the Premier Radio Network. The programming on Fox Sports Radio stations such as WRNL in Richmond just continues with Fox Sports Radio during those 3 hours. Secondly of all, on Friday night I was listening to Alan Wiener Worldwide, and someone had sent him an article promoting the DX Audio Service and the changeover from CD, from tape to CD. So maybe that will give us some more subscribers. 73s, everyone.
And that's our musings to the members on this edition of the DX Audio Service. And if you'd like to muse, give us a call at area code 419-741-0205. 24 hours a day, keep it brief and to the point so everyone has a chance to speak. Also, I'm sorry to report that we've just recently received back C.J. Brown's CDs from the post office with a tag marked deceased. So if anyone has any information on C.J. Brown of Toledo, Ohio, specifically Perrysburg, you might want to give us a call on the Musings line and tell us a little bit about C.J. and his life and his passion for radio. Now let's do some news.
The birth of the all-news radio station by Ken Foote, Director of Programming for CBS 11, February 19th, 2013, 6:28 p.m. From the time NBC and CBS started in the mid-20s until the late 50s, radio stations received a good portion of their programming from these two companies. While stations certainly had local programming, CBS, NBC Red, and the NBC Blue networks provided primetime programming for radio and were the predominant suppliers. ABC was founded in the mid-1940s as a result of a decision in a U.S. Supreme Court case National Broadcasting Company versus United States, 319, U.S. 190 in 1943. The decision reaffirmed the authority of the Federal Communications Commission to regulate radio networks at that time. As a result, NBC was forced to divest itself of one of its networks, and the Blue Network became the American Broadcasting Company, or as it's known today, ABC. The Mutual Broadcasting System, MBS, was a network that had more affiliates than anyone, but was not strong financially. When television began to grow rapidly in the 1950s, the original radio network model began to erode, and as a result, network radio shows were being canceled by the dozens, many of which made the transition to TV. Radio stations were faced with a question: what are we going to do now? Many radio executives felt that going all news was a way to distinguish themselves from other stations and compete for advertising dollars being spent with newspapers. By going all news, they could control their destiny better while charging advertisers premium spot rates. WINS Radio in New York, which was owned by Westinghouse Electric Company and had been a top 40 station in the early 1960s, had some famous owners in its history, such as Gimbels of New York and William Randolph Hearst, who gave it the WINS calls, International News Service. WINS is credited for being one of the first stations in the U.S. to go all news. On April 19, 1965, WINS played its last top 40 song, Out on the Streets, by the New York girl group The Shangri-Las, and then flipped formats. By the way, that song by The Shangri-Las didn't even chart in the Billboard Top 40. In his autobiography, As It Happened, CBS founder and chairman William S. Paley recalled how WCBS Radio in New York went all news. Paley was concerned about the station's low ratings and believed that with the resources that CBS News had, that they could do all news radio better than anyone and could charge rates comparable to what the New York Times did. As the story goes, Mr. Paley summoned the radio division executives for a meeting, along with WCBS station management, to discuss the format change. Supposedly, the radio management did not share Paley's views, believing that the station would be losing too much money over a long period of time. Paley asked for further information and analysis on his proposal. When the second meeting took place, the studies showed an even greater loss of money. Paley countered that the loss would actually be a profit in a shorter amount of time. After the meeting, Paley concluded that he needed a change in management at both the radio division and the station. Joseph Dembo was the man Paley selected to get WCBS News Radio 880 going. The new format debuted on August 28, 1967. But on WCBS FM. As a small plane crashed into WCBS's tower and destroyed it. Later on, CBS introduced this format to its other AM stations. Today, CBS owns 9 of the country's largest all-news radio stations in America: WCBS and WINS in New York, KNX Los Angeles, WBBM Chicago, KYW Philadelphia, KCBS San Francisco, WWJ Detroit, KRLD Dallas-Fort Worth, and WNEW-FM in Washington. Nearly 50 years later, in spite of the internet, Facebook, and Twitter, all news radio lives on.
KEZW goes green with solar. This article from Radio Magazine and written by its editor, Chris Shearer. KEZW is a 10-kilowatt non-directional day, 5-kilowatt directional night station that has served the Denver area on 1430 since 1954. The transmitter was moved to its current location in the 1960s, where the 5-tower inline array stands today. Entercom has owned the station since 2002. What sets KEZW apart from many AM stations is the attention Entercom has given to updating the station's efficiency. This fits with Entercom's overall view of promoting sustainability, with an eye toward being green. For example, a few years ago, the station's incandescent tower lighting was replaced with LEDs. The incandescent lamps on the five towers consumed more power than the 5-kilowatt nighttime transmitter output. This alone saved the station on its utility bills, which covered the initial capital expense in a short time. The added benefit of longer lamp life require fewer tower climbings to replace them, and that also helps the bottom line. So, about 2 years ago, the idea of using solar power at a station was being considered. KEZW was a candidate. The first items to consider were the location and, of course, the costs. Part of the cost discussion included various tax incentives that some areas offer. It took a year to go through all the paperwork of pulling permits, applying for the financial incentives, and submitting environmental filings. Intercom says Douglas County, the county where KEZW's transmitter is located, was positive about the project. Everything looked good on paper. But Jeff Garrett, KEZW Director of Engineering, had practical concerns. The potential cost savings and benefit to the environment are good reasons. But would a solar power array work in a strong RF field of a 10-kilowatt AM radio station? Garrett needed to know before the heavy work began. REC Solar was chosen to install the system. A test rig of one solar panel and inverter was set up to evaluate the system. Fortunately, everything worked. The system successfully collected and converted sunlight into electricity with no significant interference from the transmitter. The only interference issue relates to a weather monitor that is used to check sunlight, temperature, wind, and other conditions. In the RF field, the anemometer reported a constant, heavy wind of 100 miles per hour or more. It's not that windy. That was the only interference issue. The transmitter site is located on a slight slope of land. Most of the land had been leveled, and there is a raised area on the west side of the property. That was an ideal spot for the solar panel array, and it only needed a slight amount of grading. The electrical power feed, telco feed, and ground radials were all marked, and the footers were set in place for the panels. Once the footers were poured and set, assembly began. There are 12 tables with 36 panels on each table. A fence then surrounds the array. All the structural members and supports are tied to the station ground system. Each table's output runs to an inverter mounted on the west wall of the transmitter building. With everything grounded, there was minimal effect to the antenna pattern. The slight change was easy to retune. The solar panels are rated for 20 years. The inverters are rated for 10 years. Overall maintenance of the array is minimal. With less than 1 year in operation, there hasn't been much maintenance. It has easily survived storms with hail already, and snow tends to just slide off if it accumulates. Ordinances limit the amount of power a home or business can produce on its own. Installations are typically limited to producing 120% of the typical consumption. Surplus power created by the array is sold back to the power company, albeit at a lower rate than what the power company will sell power to the user. The generating limitation is designed to keep individuals from becoming standalone power utilities. KEZW's overall system can produce nearly 100,000 kilowatts of electrical power. Because the system can generate a surplus of power, there are two electrical power meters at the site. One shows the power consumed from the power company. The other shows the surplus solar power returned to the electrical grid. While only a few months of data have been collected, the electrical cost savings over last summer was about 67%. The solar array has eliminated 1,963,000 pounds of carbon from being added to the atmosphere from burning fossil fuels. While a solar panel can't completely eliminate a station's need for commercial power, solar panels aren't very effective by moonlight, it has obviously helped KEZW's bottom line. Some of the capital costs have been offset by state and federal incentives. An exact break-even point of having the system pay for itself isn't even known yet. Once a full year of data is collected, it may be possible to determine that.
Happy birthday, LP. Can you believe it's only 65? From scratchy spinner to flash and now the cloud. By Chris Meller. This article appeared in the UK Register on the 22nd of February, 2013.
Sing, sing a song, sing out.
This storage medium progressed from spinning disk to flash and then entered the cloud. Sound familiar? It's the long-playing music album, and this year marks the 65th anniversary of its inception. The 33 and a third vinyl long-playing record was devised in 1948 by Columbia Records and was an upgrade on the prior 78 RPM 12-inch shellac records, which were noisy, read by a needle tracing the surface of a spiral grooved track, and only played music for about 5 minutes. Like the 78, the 10 or 12-inch long player LP used analog recording and was two-sided, but the micro grooves were finer, so the track was longer, and the playing time was 20 minutes or more. Then, stereophonic sound was added, and the album became the standard way of buying classical music, collections of pop singles, and then popular music and songs created as an entity, rather than as a set of 3-minute singles. There was glorious album art and breathtaking musical adventures, but the technology had limitations. Records wore out because the needle scratched the microgroove surface, and so music and song quality suffered. The LP had to be turned over after 20 minutes to play the second side. The player with stereo amplifier and speakers was not portable. Playing individual songs was a hit-and-miss affair, as you had to locate them on the LP's surface. In the early 80s, Sony's Walkman became the most popular answer to the portability problem, a small battery-powered tape cassette player with headphones. This was good as far as it went, which was not far enough, because the CD, which started catching on towards the end of the 80s, swept the cassette-based Walkman away. In the late 1980s, music fans were blown away by the new high-fidelity recording medium. The compact disc is an optical technology, so while the single-sided discs still had spiral tracks, the signals pressed into them were read by laser. Unlike the old LP, there was no contact with the disc's recording surface, which was covered by a transparent layer of plastic. That didn't stop them from getting scratched, though. But CDs were smaller, so, sadly, they didn't offer the vast canvas of the enormous LP album cover. An era of classic album artwork was over. Just a few years later, the ultimately hard drive and then flash memory-powered portable media players began to crush the CD as surely as it had pulverized the LP. The file system of the portable media players meant songs could be found quickly, and you could organize your own playlists. You could store these songs on your computer and copy them to others. Consumer music recording technology came down to a contest between the CD and flash. Flash won, and I'd suggest this is because of the simplicity of the associated purchasing technology. You can now buy just the few tracks you like off the album, online, as opposed to the whole thing. Or even buy the whole thing without the pesky inconveniences associated with walking about, meeting people, and leaving the house that one encounters in the Meat Space record shop. The digital music player's convenience and playlist functions were superior for consumers, who preferred not having to put load CDs into a player and carry them around if they wanted to have a listen while they traveled. A flash player could easily carry 500 songs or more. You'd need 25 or more CDs to match that. The advent of portable media players. Okay, the iPod. Apple dominated the portable music player market from the beginning of the noughties onwards with its various iPods. This is mostly down to the easy integration of its iTunes music software with the Apple Store's payment platform, although many have complained about early glitches, like its automatic syncs, format mangling, and various other snags. When digital music moved into mobile phones, together with dedicated flash music players, it killed off the CD as surely as the shiny, scratch-prone disc had killed off the cassette tape before it. But the long-playing record hasn't suffered the fate of the CD and the cassette tape. aficionados still love the warmth of its sound, which they compare unfavorably to the hyper-clean and compressed digital music. Now, music consists of digital files, mostly played from solid-state devices and not spinning media. Sometimes it comes across a network, from internet radio stations or other sources. The newest, 11th release of iTunes throws your music library up into the iCloud. And there are plenty of cloud music services around to fill any gaps if you can't find anything in your own digital music library that tickles your fancy and aren't ready to buy something new. Will commercial data storage go the same way? Will it end up in solid-state stores with spinning media consigned to the vaults of old, old technology, a.k.a. the vinyl resting place, as relevant to us as papyrus or clay tablets? Not until solid-state foundries have multiplied in number many, many times, for we simply can't make enough of the stuff for wholesale disc replacement. Disc is cheap. Disc is good enough. And flash will only be used for the data that is needed instantly for a long, long time yet.
This is Fred Vobey with Have a Voice with a tale of long-distance reception. This concerns radio station WBBW, AM 1240, in Youngstown, Ohio. And I think that many of you will be impressed with what you're about to hear. This letter goes as follows. Last January, I visited the north of Norway. I brought with me my radio receivers just to listen to North America and Pacific radio stations in the AM broadcast band. The north of Norway is a very favorable location, with polar nights and a shortcut route across the Arctics. To pick up very weak long-distance radio signals, we use a very long antenna, up to 1,800 feet. Sound familiar, Mr. Dernberger? On the 7th of January at 6 p.m. in Ohio, I managed to catch the signals from AM 1240 WBBW. On the attached MP3 file, you can listen to a short recording of WBBW as it was received in the north of Norway. I was surprised that you had NBC Sports. Not exactly local quality, but the signal is quite weak and noisy, so my advice is to use headphones when listening. I'm 75 years old, retired from my officer profession in the Norway Signal Corps. My last job was as a commanding officer, a major, of a technical workshop. As retired, I can use much more of my time to my radio hobby. I listen for many hours each week. In sleepless nights and mornings, I do turn in to the AM broadcast band to listen, especially for radio stations from North America. As many others, I have a hobby, perhaps a strange hobby. Well, there's many of them. I do collect identifications of U.S. radio stations in the AM broadcast band as they're heard here in Norway. To make the collection complete, I do need a verification from stations telling that the recording I enclosed is correct. So a confirmation of my reception of AM 1240 WBBW from Youngstown would really make my day. Signed, Tor B. Vick of Norway. And here's his recording.
This is Sports Radio 1240, WBBW Youngstown, Warren, a Cumulus station, Youngstown's home for sports talk.
Our thanks go out to Rick Parrish, Vice President and Marketing Manager of Cumulus Stations in Youngstown, and also to Wes Boyd, Engineering Supervisor for Cumulus in Youngstown, for providing this letter and the recording. The National Radio Club is trying to build an archive of DX Audio Service shows. Now, some members, that might be you, volunteered to copy our masters to MP3. That's the original cassettes. But we've yet to get the MP3s or cassettes returned. If you volunteered to transfer tapes, would you please either return the tapes to Fred or send the MP3s that you copied? No hard feelings if you simply send the tapes back. We know that people get very, very busy. And if you need more time to copy them to MP3, please let Fred know that also. And if you can return either in the very near future, it would be appreciated, to the address that Fred or I mentioned at the beginning of the show. We're also missing some masters, such as the December 1985 issue. All the 1986 issues except March and August, and the June 2003 issue. If you have those tapes, not necessarily the masters, but a copy, and can send us your tape or turn it into an MP3 or let us borrow the tape, that would be terrific. We really want to get a complete history of the magazine, and that's the best way to do it with your help. And finally, if you agreed to buy cassettes from the club and you haven't had a chance to pay for them, please write out your check today and send it in. Don't forget us. We're a non-profit organization and we need your help. Thanks.
Those of you who have been with us for quite some time, maybe 10 or 15 years ago, might remember a story that we did about the Wobbler. This was a rogue frequency, or heterodyne, which was drifting up and down against a radio station in this person's area, causing just a whistle or a heterodyne against the channel. Well, it just kind of went away. Nobody could figure out what it was, but something like it is now back. Tom Jasinski over in Illinois reports that this is happening on 1270 kilohertz. So if you live in the Midwest, you might want to give a listen and see if you can figure out where this might be coming from. Tom does not have a Perseus radio, but he sent the audio clip to a friend of his who then listened for it, and you can definitely see on the graphical display that the radio signal is going plus and minus approximately 4 kilohertz from 1270. So give it a listen, and here's what it sounds like if you tune it in. And if you happen to hear it, why not give us a call on the Musings line and tell us that you did hear it and approximately what direction it might be coming from. Maybe we can solve this mystery. And speaking of interference, Chris Gay from Lexington, Kentucky, has some information about some jamming being done by China. Chris?
The Association for International Broadcasting condemns what it says is the country's concerted interference with English-language radio programs. This article appeared in the Hollywood Reporter magazine on March 6th. China has been interfering with English-language radio programs, extending its Great Firewall, as Western observers often call the country's comprehensive online censorship system, into the radio field, according to the Association for International Broadcasting. The group issued a statement Wednesday saying that broadcasts from the BBC World Service, which recently criticized China for such jamming, Radio Australia, and Voice of America, are being deliberately interfered with by the jamming of frequencies, making it difficult or impossible to listen to them. Shows affected include news, current affairs, science, and entertainment programming. AIB said research carried out by the individual broadcasters, as well as independent groups, suggests the jamming is coming from within mainland China. The BBC, Radio Free Asia, and Voice of America's broadcasts in Mandarin have been consistently blocked for many years in China. But this is the first time that English language services have seen such concerted interference, it said. AIB condemns this latest interference to the broadcasts of the BBC, ABC Radio Australia, and Voice of America, said Simon Spanswick, CEO of the association. Free access to information is a universal human right, and this interference is preventing audiences based within China to hear news from outside the country. He added, it comes at a time when China's own international broadcasters on radio and television are expanding rapidly around the world. They do not suffer from attempts by other nations to silence them. AIB calls on China to cease its jamming activities. The AIB's condemnation follows the BBC's announcement in February that its English language World Service broadcasts were being interfered with in Asia. The BBC said it had observed extensive and coordinated efforts at jamming its channels, which are indicative of a well-resourced country such as China. A reporter from The Guardian recently asked a Chinese foreign ministry spokeswoman about the BBC's allegations at a press briefing in Beijing. I don't understand this situation, she reportedly said, telling the journalists present to contact relevant departments for further information, without specifying which departments might be involved or how to reach them. The AIB said it is lodging official protests with the Chinese Foreign Ministry and its missions in London and Washington, D.C. No official comment was available from China. In Lexington, Kentucky, I'm Chris Gay for the DX Audio Service.
The National Radio Club is looking for a host for the 2014 convention. 2013 is all set for Minneapolis, and at the request of several members, we would like to be able to announce the location for 2014 at this meeting. Hosting a convention can be some work, as well as a lot of fun. That's apparent from the many repeat hosts we've had over the years. Within the club, there's an incredible amount of help and experience available to assist with planning. And you'll find folks volunteering to help make the event itself go smoothly. Having the club members visit your city gives you an opportunity to share what your area has to offer. It also provides a great opportunity for old DX friends to gather and swap stories. If you're interested in learning what's involved in hosting the NRC convention, please check in with Ernie Wesolowski by email at neerniew@yahoo.com. I'll spell that. neerniew@yahoo.com. Or send him a note at 13312 Westwood Lane, Omaha, Nebraska, 68144. We can help you evaluate the practical aspects of hosting a convention so that if you decide to make a formal bid, you'll have what you need to make that decision. Take the first step now by learning what's involved in hosting the 2014 convention. You can provide a great service to the National Radio Club.
And that's it for this edition of the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for April 2013. Again, just a quick reminder, at the beginning of April, I'll be heading out to the National Association of Broadcasters Convention and then taking a well-deserved two-week vacation. So, if you try to get a hold of me during that time, don't panic. I'm on the road. I obviously can't answer the phone here at home. So, just leave a message and we'll get to you when we get back from our little holiday. Until next time, 73, good DX, and get out and support radio.
Hey, wasn't this our anniversary?
Oh, right. Yeah, that's fantastic.